Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
You know, the 17th of Tammuz. Let's open to Jeremiah chapter 52, and I'm going to explain just a little bit about it. But what we're going to speak about tonight is because of Messiah. You see, we see all of these tragedies. Many people may not understand that the actual tragedies began on the 17th of Tammuz and began in 587 BC. And then again, it repeated itself, as our dear narrator was speaking, in 70 AD at the time of the Roman Empire. So the question arises, how can the same tragedy occur in Israel's history twice on the same day? Both days on the 17th of Tammuz in 587 BC, and then later hundreds of years in 70 AD in the time of the Romans. The Romans barraged and the Babylonians earlier barraged and broke down the city walls of Jerusalem. We might say, if we're looking at it, that sounds like a coincidence, but we know in biblical history and we know in the Bible there is no such thing as a coincidence. That is not a word or a concept that is a biblical concept. Nothing happens by coincidence. God is in control of everything. So we have to see that it has some deep-rooted issue. Then the same 3 weeks, say it with me, the same 3 weeks, occurred in 587 BC, not 2 weeks, not 5 weeks, not how about 10 weeks? I mean, how can it be that the same 3 weeks from the 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av, also known as Tisha B'Av, how can it be that it occurred in 587 BC with the Babylonians and then hundreds of years later, Jesus prophesied? If you remember when Jesus went to the Temple Mount, he said to his disciples, "Look and see, not one of these stones will remain upon another." He was prophesying Tisha B'Av that was going to take place 35 years after his resurrection, the utter destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And the same 3 weeks, the same period, the same exact time. So the question arises, is this a coincidence, or does this have a connection somewhere in the Bible that makes God's people understand it happened at the same time, hundreds of years apart, on same days, 3 weeks? It's something that cannot be ignored. It's something that we have to see. So let's go back. I would say this is not the first Tisha B'Av, but we're going to go back in biblical history to the second Tisha B'Av. The first Tisha B'Av actually happened in the Garden of Eden. But we're not going to speak about that at this moment. We're going to tell you about the Tisha B'Av that occurred when the spies came back from spying out the land. Let us go very quickly to the book of Numbers in the 13th chapter, just to give you a background so that we know, because I know many of you have never been with us during the biblical feasts. And this is something we do every single year because we don't want you to miss out on your messianic miracle. How many of you tonight want your messianic miracle? Amen. And you want to enter into the 3 weeks. Numbers chapter 13, looking at verse 1. And I hope we get, oh good, praise God, we have this one working. Praise you, Jesus. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And let us just read it really quickly. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel of every tribe of their fathers. You will send a man, one ruler among them." So in a nutshell, what God commanded Moses to do was to send leaders from every tribe into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. For those who don't know what the land of Canaan is, it's the land of Israel. Say it with me. It's the ancient name of the land of Israel. All right, so spies went in. Now, spies didn't go in to say, let's see if we can take the land. That is not where they were sent. They were sent in to see how we can take the land. Do you all understand? They were sent in on a faith mission to bring back a word of faith, to encourage the people, to give them a message of faith and hope, how beautiful the land is and how faithful God is. Because the whole reason for the redemption of Egypt is the promised land. Say this with me. The whole purpose of the redemption of Egypt, out of Egypt, is the promised land. Hallelujah. It's for the promised land. And it's for God to eventually set up his presence on earth through the temple. Set with me. God's presence on earth. Through the temple. Okay, so we see all this, don't we? And we see that the spies were sent in, and then we see that they came back with a report. Let us look very quickly at their report back. And the Bible tells us in verse 26, and they went and they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and they brought back word unto them, saying, this is the fruit of the land. And verse 27 says, and they told him and said, unto this land that you sent us, it surely flows with milk and honey. Verse 27, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell there. You can look at your Bibles because it's not correct on the screen. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And also we saw there the sons of Anak. Are you with me, saints? They saw the sons of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites. So here we see, beloved saints, in verse 32, that they brought a Debir Hara. They brought an evil report upon the land. So they lied about the land of Israel. This was not true. There were some things very intimidating, but they made the land of Israel seem as if it were a land that devoured the inheritance, the inhabitants of the people. And why are we saying this? Because when God sends us up on a mission, when God sends us out, we have a choice to come back with a report of faith or to come back, dear people of God, or to come back with an evil report like they did. Put your hands up and say, I'm never coming back with a report that's evil. I'm coming back with a report of faith. So the Bible tells us in verse 32 that they brought up an evil report on the land, and they searched the land of Israel. Now look at chapter 14. This is where we need to understand where the weeping came in. The spies so intimidated those children of Israel when they came back, because they said it's a land that eats up the inhabitants. And they really believed that if they went up to the land of Israel, it would be a suicide mission. They really believed. How often has God told us to do something? God has sent us into mission, and we didn't want to do it because we knew the implications of doing the will of God. There would be some consequences, some steps of faith. Are you with me? Some very difficult moments that our faith would be challenged. But we ourselves came back with a report and completely put it out of whack. We did not do what God told us to do. And this is what the spies did. Only they stretched it far beyond just not wanting to go up. The Bible says in chapter 14, verse 1, they lifted up their voice and they wept all night. Say it with me. Then all the congregation lifted up their voice and they wept all night. Notice what they said. This is not a light thing. The children of Israel also murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would to God that we would have died by the sword. Say it with me. Would to God we would have died by the sword. Ask your neighbor and say, would to God you would have died by the sword. Do you realize what they're doing? They're prophesying. They are prophesying into their future. Notice what they're saying. The it says, all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, would to God that we would have died in the land of Egypt or that we would have died in this wilderness. Watch the next verse. Wherefore has the Lord brought us to this land to die by the sword? God didn't bring him to the land to die by the sword. There's no evidence that there's going to be any sword. But they're weeping and they're saying, God brought us, wants us to go into the land so he can kill us so that we can die by the sword. What they were doing is they were prophesying into history that every time a sin or some tragedy or something happens, or there's some vulnerability equal with the coming back of the spies, Israel becomes extremely susceptible to these words. Are you hearing me? And that is exactly what happened on Tisha B'Av. All right? They died by the sword. They died by the sword that the Babylonians brought in, and they died by the sword that the Romans brought in. And it's not a coincidence that the day that the spies came back was the 8th of Av, and the night they cried was the 9th of Av. Somebody say that's not a coincidence. Okay, do you see that? So what does that teach us? That teaches us that we need to understand that God does not plan something for our destruction. God plans for our benefit. God plans for our blessing. God plans for our breakthrough. Had they only been like Joshua and Caleb. Say this with me. Only two believe God. Okay, and I want to share with you who those two were. The Bible tells us if we look, because tonight we need, if we're going to come into the 21 days, we're going to need some faith to believe God, that God's going to turn our situation around. How many of you today want to believe God for your situation to turn around? All right. How many of you want your walls to come down? How many of you want all the blessing that God has given you? Hallelujah. All right. If we do, then we need Joshua faith and we need Caleb faith. All right. Let's look at, remember, the people brought on an evil report. Say it with me. I don't want to call evil good and good evil. Do you know what happens when our discernment gets distorted? When we start tampering with the promises of God or the calling of God, and we don't want to do what God called us to do. We don't want to believe God. We don't want to stretch. We don't want to. And before you know it, we start wavering in our faith. And what happened here was they not only wavered in their faith, they allowed circumstances, they allowed what they saw, and they didn't see what they actually accused God of. They didn't see people dying by the sword. As a matter of fact, the Lord was so sensitive that they wouldn't see the sword, that he actually changed their route coming out of Egypt. All right, when they were coming out of Egypt, they should have went by way of the land of the Philistines. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 17. But God changed their route, lest they see the sword and go back to Egypt. Are you seeing this? God already knew that they were going to become extremely sensitive to seeing war anywhere. And as a result of seeing war, because they weren't ready for it, turn to your neighbor and say they weren't ready for it then. But now they're ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope that at the time I ought to be at a certain place spiritually, that I'm not backwards at the time of possessing my promise. Say, I don't want to go backwards of what God expects of me and not be ready for my moment with destiny. See, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 17, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, that they came up out of Egypt harnessed. They came up kamushin. They came up harnessed. And God led them not by way of the wilderness, lest they should see war and go back to Egypt. So he led them the long way and led them through the wilderness. Are you hearing this? So the whole reason God chose the route in the wilderness is he knew what they're so, these are a people that came out of Egypt. They're very vulnerable. They've been through slavery. They've been through a lot of abuse. They've been through a lot of hurts. They've been through a lot of trauma. I'm not going to let them go through the land of the Philistines because the Philistines are warlike people. And if they see the sword, they're going to turn around and go back to Egypt. All right? Sometimes we're so unstable emotionally that we can't handle the pressure of taking the land that God has called us to take. But put your hands up right now and say, those days are over in my life. I'm going up and I'm getting my territory tonight. Come on, say, it's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm not going to be denied what God has promised me and my family, my children, and my children's children. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Numbers chapter 13 so we can understand what's happening. They brought a Debir Hara. Set with me, a Debir Hara, an evil report. Do you know what that is equivalent to? That's a slander. Because in another place, the Bible says they brought a slander on the land. They brought Lashon Hara on the land of Israel. That means they said something about the situation that usually Lashon Hara is true. In this case, this was not true. They fabricated a lie, and they called good evil and evil good. They're actually calling Egypt better than going up and possessing the land. Somebody ought to right now, if you've been thinking about retreating and thinking that things of the world are better than the things of God, you better think twice. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not thinking about Egypt tonight. I'm not thinking that it's better under Pharaoh's bondage. I'm not thinking that the world system is better than believing God. Somebody should give God the praise and the glory. All right, so we see here, as we see, and we're looking at Numbers chapter 14, and we are seeing that the Bible, 13, I want us to see this Debir Hara. It says, they brought up an evil report, verse 32, on the land, and they said, the land which we have gone up to search eats up the inhabitants of the people, and all the people that we saw there were men of great stature. That means they saw the giants. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which were come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not a grasshopper. And say, the circumstances that I have to face might seem like huge circumstances, but we're well able to overcome it. Come on. We're well able to overcome it. How many of you tonight would like to receive by faith the faith that is necessary for you to possess the impossible? Would you raise your hand? How many of you tonight would say, I want to walk out of this building tonight with an impartation to have enough faith to possess the impossible that God has put on my life to possess for his honor and glory? How many of you would like to do that tonight? You've got to leave with a faith, believing God for the impossible.
Hallelujah.
All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise God tonight. All right, now, beloved saints, if we continue and we see the word of the Lord, the Bible tells us, but Joshua, notice, and Caleb, look back up at verse 30. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Say this with me. We're not putting it off. We're going to go up at once. Because I don't want to lose the faith that I have right now and think that the grace that God's given me now to do it to go up and take it. If I put it off and procrastinate, I may lose the grace. So I want to go while God has already put fire in my heart to do it. Come on. I want to move when God says move, and I want to stop when the Holy Ghost says stop. I'm not going to wait on this. I'm going to go forward and move into the miraculous by the power of God. Can I get a witness somewhere? Joshua also stilled the people. I'm going somewhere with Joshua and Caleb. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need Caleb faith and Joshua faith. Hallelujah. I want you to see this, saints. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14 says, as you look at it, the Bible says in verse 6, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. That means they said, this is madness. And they spoke unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. Hallelujah. And if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Hallelujah. Neither, hallelujah, fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. And their defense is departed from them, but the Lord is with us. And do you know, the congregation wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb for speaking. They're determined, we're going back to Egypt. They're determined, we're not going up. They're determined, we don't want the land. Do you realize what that meant? That meant they are denying the reason why they were redeemed out of Egypt. They are denying the faithfulness of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The whole reason they're being given the land is in the merit of the forefathers. Are you hearing this? The forefathers already paid the price for that land. All they had to do was go up and possess it. It was their inheritance that God gave to their descendants. Do you understand this? Say inheritance for descendants. How many of you want that Zahut tonight and that inheritance? So this is the core of Tisha B'Av, because this became a Tisha B'Av for the 40-year wandering in the wilderness. This became a Tisha B'Av for the whole congregation. And God said, now I want you to know, the God that we serve is not a God of vengeance. In the sense that he said, because you said this, you little rascals, you're going to pay for 40 years. I'm going to chastise you in the wilderness. Wrong. Wrong. That's why the whole Feast of Tabernacles is a feast. God said, I have to give you what you want. You don't want to go up? I'm not letting you go back to Egypt. That's out. Okay? You're not going to destroy yourselves or destroy what I did. So you don't get to go back to Egypt. As much as you want to go back, you're not going back. Because I'm faithful to the promise that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you hearing this? But you're going to wander every year that you went up for a day, for a year. Went up 40 days, now there's 40 years. And God is doing this not because God is just giving them some kind of a cruel sentence. They wanted this. They begged God. They sinned against the land. So God gave them what they wanted. But did God in the wilderness say, because you did this, you don't get any food for 40 years because there's nowhere you can sow or reap? No. God rained down manna every day for them. God brought water out of the rock for them. God took care of them, but they were in a stationary place. They never advanced. They never went forward into their destiny. Without faith, you cannot go into your destiny. Unless you take a move of faith, you're going to stay stuck in the wilderness for the rest of your life. I don't know about you, but I want Caleb faith. I don't know about you, but I want Joshua faith. Tell your neighbor, say, I don't want to go around this mountain for another 40 years. I want to come out of wandering in the wilderness, and I've got to go up and get my stuff. I've got to go and get the land that God has promised. Somebody should praise the Lord. So the 3 weeks tonight are a night, this is going to be a night of empowering you with faith. This is going to be a night that you have Joshua faith and Caleb faith. Joshua faith and Caleb faith. What's the secret? Well, if you know the description that God gave Joshua and Caleb, they are the only ones who have a description about them that has the description of the anointing. I said they are the only two who have an identity of the anointing. Let me say that again. Maybe the folks over here heard it. I said Joshua and Caleb in the scripture are defined as the only two who have an identity associated with the anointing. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 27, let's look at that. Numbers 27 verse 18. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if I have the anointing, I'll be able to go up and take the territory. Say this with me. I need the anointing tonight to possess the impossible. Come on. Do you need the anointing tonight to possess the impossible? How many of you want your 3 weeks to be 3 weeks of taking territory? 3 weeks of getting your land back? 3 weeks of getting all the blessing God has promised you back. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit. Say it with me, a man in whom is the Spirit. Say this with me, unique identity of being filled with the Spirit. A man in whom is the Spirit. Say it again. A man is in whom is the Spirit, and put your lay your hand upon him. And this is the commission that God gave to Moses. And after the incident with the spies, and Moses appointed Joshua to be his successor. Are you following me? Okay, so the Bible says, take Joshua, the son of Nun, and lay your hand on him, a man in whom is the Spirit. Now let's look at Caleb's identity. Okay, so they both have identity of the anointing. Say this with me, Holy Spirit, I don't want to grieve you. And whatever I'm told by you to do, show me any area. Come on, let's talk to the Lord. Show me any area that's in my promised land that I have not gone up to possess. I've been afraid. I've had fear. I've let people's faces intimidate me. I've let circumstances intimidate me. I've allowed my emotions to be dictated by my circumstances. And I'm asking you right now for a special anointing on this day, before the 21 days that come upon me, as the 21 days come upon me, that I will go up and take what you have asked me to take, and not waver in my faith, and not go back to Egypt, not go back to trusting the world or anything in the world, that I am only going to trust you. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24 is going to show us Caleb with the anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Jesus, we're ready to anoint you right now in just a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody should praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 14, looking at verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because what? He has another spirit with him. And he has what? Follow me fully. Oh, I didn't hear you. He has what?
Follow me fully.
What has he done?
Follow me fully.
That means That means that Caleb followed fully. He fully followed everything the Lord told him to do. And when we have the anointing and when we listen to the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, that means that we cannot go up and possess our promised land without the leading of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If we are led by our emotions or our flesh, we'll never be able to do it. But in order to fully follow the Lord, that means I have to listen to everything the Holy Ghost is telling me. And it may not make sense to man. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got his own plan, and I'm not out to please man. I got to do what God's told me to do, the way God's told me to do it. I can't take a shortcut. I got to do it exactly the way the Lord gave me to do it. I got to speak the same scriptures God gave me to speak over it. I've got to fight the way God told me to fight. I've got to lay my life down the way God told me to lay it down. Hallelujah! Give God the glory. Raise your hands up at this moment. These 21 days are also days that in the time of Messiah, you see, between the sin of the spies and so many other tragedies that happened in history, in the time of the kings of Judah, before the last king, there were sins that were so strong against the anointing. The last king of Israel, the last king of Judah, his name was Zedekiah, but the last literal descendant of King David was Jehoiakim, right before Zedekiah. The one that legally had the ability, the seed of David, to sit on the throne. And when Nebuchadnezzar was encamped for almost 2 years, coming and going, miles and miles and miles of horses and horsemen, they locked up the city because they couldn't come out, they couldn't come in, or they'd be shot at. So the sieging didn't begin till they were starved. Some of us have been starved, the word of God. And we have no defense system to stand up against the siege. But as the barraging began, and as they entered the city in the first deportation, this is before the 17th of Tammuz. They ordered Jehoiakim to come out with his whole family. And Jehoiakim was only 18 years old. He comes out with his mother, his brothers, his whole family, all his descendants. And behind him are other members of the royal family, such as Daniel, who will be taken captive as well. And then came a string of hundreds and hundreds of priests of Israel. They're going out to Nebuchadnezzar also. And they're all going to behold the grand moment. Jehoiakim will bow before Nebuchadnezzar. And he will take the crown off of his head. And he will surrender it to Nebuchadnezzar. That was the end. That was the day. Everything else is just a consequence of what happened to surrender the crown. When we're under pressure, when we're in a time that we don't want to go on, or we're being tested, Jesus said, let no man steal your crown. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Let no man steal your crown. Stealing your crown means surrendering the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit in your life. That you're no longer under the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God, but you are now just doing whatever, going through the mechanics of ministry. Surrendering the crown means to surrender your calling, means to surrender your anointing. But today, can we say on this these 3 weeks, Lord, I don't want to surrender my crown. Lord, come on, I don't want to surrender my crown. I won't let the king of Babylon, the world, take my crown. I won't let the king of Babylon take my crown. Come on, I will not let the world take my crown. I won't submit to the systems of this world. I will not submit to the philosophy of this world. I'm not surrendering my crown to the king of Babylon in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus tells us how we won't surrender our crown. He said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." If you're faithful unto death, you won't surrender it. Put your hands up right now and say, "These 3 weeks, I want to receive the anointing to be faithful unto death. I will not surrender my ministry, my prayer life. I will not surrender the vessels in the temple. The devil cannot have my dream. He can't have my vision. He can't have any of the holy things. He can't take anything with the anointing in my life. I refuse to relinquish it to the enemy. In the name of Jesus." Last but not least, the promises of return and recovery. God spoke to Jerusalem and said, "You will be a crown in the hand of your God." And he also promised new names, that everyone that dwells, Jesus said, in the new Jerusalem, is going to receive a new name that no man knows except him that receives it. Come on and pray. I want you to understand something. In case you didn't, there's two Jerusalems. There's literal ancient Jerusalem, and there's the new Jerusalem. These promises are definitely for both. Because in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, God makes a promise that he's going to give a new name to Jerusalem. He gives the new name. He says in Isaiah 60, verse 2, the Bible says, "You shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall proclaim." You are no longer going to be called abandoned. You are no longer going to be called forsaken, but you are going to be called, hallelujah, Hephzibah and Beulah. That's what Isaiah 62, verse 2 says. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Isaiah 62, verse 2. So we have Isaiah 60 up, but it's Isaiah 62, verse 2. All right. Are you with me? Tonight we have scrolls. And on these scrolls are scrolls that will help you find your name. The Bible says the Gentiles will see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall declare. I want you to know during these 21 days, God is going to give you a new name that's going to correspond with the rebuilding of your ruins during these days. Somebody ought to say, "I'm ready to receive my new name from the Lord." You say, "Well, how can you prove that in the New Testament?" Okay, let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3. And the Bible is going to tell us in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. The city of God, the New Jerusalem. Watch this. To him that overcomes. How many of you are ready to overcome? Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, the overcomer is not just in the life to come. Say, the Lord is telling me to overcome now. That's the whole purpose of overcoming. I don't need to overcome in the life to come. I need to overcome now. Do you understand? Right now I'm an overcomer. This isn't for the future. This is for now. Hallelujah. To him that overcomes. If you're an overcomer, this is your word right here. Somebody said, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. Come on. I am an overcomer. To him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. So if you are an overcomer, you have access to all the promises of Jerusalem. Somebody ought to praise God right now and say, I've got it, and I'm not letting that word go. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, the New Jerusalem, which has come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now go to Revelation 2:17 and watch that you are going to get a new name yourself. Hallelujah. Say, I'm ready for my new name, but it's only for an overcomer. Come on, the old person's passed away. Every time I go through a trial, I become new. Every time I pass through the fire, I become new. Every time I overcome, I'm a different person. I'm ready to receive my new name tonight. Hallelujah! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone. Hallelujah. And in the stone, my goodness, in the stone, like the stones of the high priest's breastplate, and also like the word. You're getting the hidden manna, and you're also getting another kind of word. You're getting a word that comes down from heaven where God is written, hallelujah, where he's written the commandments on stone, letters of stone. But this time, your name is on the stone, so there's a word connected to your name. I have to go over here because some of you didn't get that. All right, let me go over it with ABCs so that you will know who you are when you find a word connected to your name. I hope somebody's hearing this right now. It says, oh, praise the Lord. To him that hear, has an ear to hear, and to him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth except him that receiveth it. Do you realize? Oh my goodness. Do you realize? In the Garden of Eden, there was the onyx stone, and it had letters written on it. We're not going there. All right. And then the Ten Commandments were two tablets. The Bible tells us in Exodus 24, verse 12, that they were written with the hand of God on tablets of stone. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says the Lord gave the tablets to Moses. Moses didn't carve out the first set. God gave him the tablets himself, and God wrote with the finger of God the words, hallelujah, on the tablets of stone. Tablets of stone with your name written. Say it with me, tablets of stone with my name written. Do you realize that God is calling you a person who's going to receive tablets of stone, just like Moses got tablets of stone? But you're going to get tablets of stone concerning your life. That means the word over your life is like the word that God gave to Moses.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say, I got to get that word that's over my life. And I have to discover my name and who I am in the word. Turn to your neighbor and say, going through a course to try to discover your identity is not going to show you who you are. Say, you don't need to take a course and say, who am I? Okay? You know who you are by reading the word. Your word, the word of God, is going to show you who you are, where you've been destined to go, who you've been called to be, what you've been called to possess. You see, the world will calculate who you are by your gifts and your talents, but God calculates who you are by way of calling, by way of election. Hallelujah. Say, my gifts and talents do not sum up who I am. Say, my abilities, my education, my background, it does not sum up who you are. But what sums up who you are is your election in God, who He called you to be, what He called you to do. And if I were you, I would stand on my feet. Come on and give God the praise. If I were you, I would take this word. You see, wait a minute. I knew we were in trouble tonight a little bit. Okay, can I tell you? I knew we were in trouble. I could tell by looking at the audience, we're done. Everybody's got a long, somber face. They're looking at me like this. No, it's true. They're in a somber mode. It's just such a somber mode. Some people were even looking at their watch. Somber mode. Very somber. Well, what if the Holy Ghost doesn't want to be somber? What if the Holy Ghost is telling you tonight to understand your election? Who you are and who you've been called to be in Christ is not a light thing. Who you've been called to be in Jesus. Oh, dear one, who you've been called to be in Jesus is so glorious. Put those hands up right now. Who you've been called to be in Jesus is so glorious. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, let us be so on fire for who you called us to be. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I need those scrolls brought out here. Yes, Lord, I give you praise. Just keep praising Him. Yes, Lord, just the scrolls. Let's mix the scrolls up. Just mix the scrolls up. That's it, brethren. Brother Rocky's helping us. That's all right. Let's just mix the scrolls up. Rev Gregory, help me. I'm going to ask Pastor Sanjay. I want you to raise your hands. Oh, Lord, tonight as we get ready, tonight, oh, precious Lord, as we get ready to go forward into these 3 weeks, that the anointing would be so heavy upon us, that the anointing will be like no other, that there will be such a breakthrough. That there will be such a divine turnaround. Those in this place who can't bear another day. Yes. To be in the place they are. They want the doors open. They're believing God for expansion. They're going to obey the vision and obey the dream. This is why, Victoria, your testimony, honey, is so needed. And then after the service tonight, I want you and your husband, my dear brother, to lay hands on the ones, if you can stay for just a few moments. For those here tonight who who need that hope. We promised that would be, and we want that to be for those who need hope after the service. Come on, pray in the spirit. If you've heard my dear sister-in-law's testimony of how recently, at the time right when my mother was going to heaven, there was a near-death experience, and it actually became a death experience, where Clark actually died and was on a breathing machine. And they wanted to pull the plug. And she was pregnant with two babies. And you heard it. You heard the testimony over the weekend. And she was literally raised from the dead through the word and through believing God. And I believe tonight, those of you who have those deep-rooted issues that want a miracle, they're going to pray for you. I want you to pray right now. Hallelujah. Tonight, there are those of us here. I need someone to help me with these scrolls. If someone would just help assist me. Yes, take a handful, honey. And hallelujah, yes. Sister Lisa, would you take a handful and help me? Cindy, God wants you to have this scroll tonight. He's rewriting your destiny. It's not too late, sweetie. The call of God on your life from your mother's womb. You have served God faithfully all these years, and God's going to not deny you the desires of your heart for serving him. He's going to rebuild your ruins, Cindy. He's going to rebuild them from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We give God praise and we give God glory. Everyone's eyes on Jesus. If we look to man, we're going to be so disappointed tonight. Hallelujah. Come here, darling. You've been so faithful. I hear the Lord saying, you've been so faithful. Even in the trials, tribulations, when your heart was breaking, when you didn't understand and you kept serving God. The Lord says, now double for your shame. The Lord says, ministry is opening up for you. Hallelujah. God, I give you praise that from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, new ministry and new doors and new opportunities are opening. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I praise you and I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All four of you, Pastor Adam, Maria, hallelujah, and Reuben and Cindy, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the new names written upon both of them for whatever you're asking them to do in this hour for the kingdom. And for the kingdom's sake, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus, as a couple with their families. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. The Lord's telling me to tell you that certain situations in the family, I don't know if it's extended family or what, but there's going to be miraculous reconciliations going on in the family with family members and extended family members. Hallelujah. Things that were not so good that are going to be very good, the Lord says, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for all family members, Lord, working together in such a call and such oneness and such work together for the glory of God. And we give you praise.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button. or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.